Sure Shame Podcast, shining a light to the nations.
Hello, everyone. I'm Bill Cloud. I want to welcome you to our program today. We are going to be continuing a thought. We've been talking about Babylon and what Babylon is, but today we're going to get a little bit more specific about mystery Babylon, really understanding the mystery that is Babylon. As I've said in times past, a lot of people look at mystery Babylon as being some kind of an entity that nobody knows what it is and won't be revealed until the end of days. My opinion is that it's a mystery about Babylon. That mystery might be this: how does a dead civilization come back to life at the end of days? It's mystery Babylon the Great, not mystery Babylon the Great. And so as we begin to talk about these things, we're going to discuss some scriptures that can be kind of, misconstrued, I believe, easily misunderstood. And because it's a mystery, we have to unravel some things. So that being said, I'm going to go back today and we're going to kind of go back over a few things that we've already discussed to make sure that we're being clear and make sure everybody's following along and understanding what we're trying to say. All right, so let's get started. In the book of Revelation, and we're specifically referring to chapter 17, John is shown this mysterious beast, and upon this beast is this woman who is clothed in scarlet, and it's described for us in Revelation 17. But it's very clear that this beast is going to rule the nations at the end of the age. And this woman that is riding upon the beast has written on her forehead, "Mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and all of the abominations of the earth." And so, as I said at the very beginning, I'm not really convinced that it's about mystery Babylon. I'm more convinced that it's a mystery about Babylon. John is told that this beast is going to arise out of the bottomless pit. It's going to go to perdition. And so, because it is a mystery, the angel is trying to explain the mystery to John. So let's read in Revelation chapter 17, beginning at verse 9, says this: "Here is the mind which has wisdom. The seven heads," that is the seven heads on this beast, which are seven principalities we've talked about before, but he says the seven heads are seven mountains on which the woman sits. But that's not limited to that. He also says that these seven heads are also seven kings. Five of those kings have fallen. One of those kings is presently in John's day, and the other has not yet come. It's going to come in the future. And when he comes, that is this last one, he must continue a short time. So I'm going to try to the best of my ability to kind of break this down and make it as simple as I know how. But there's this beast. The woman's riding this beast. This beast has seven heads. And so the angel, when John is marveling at this, the angel tells John, or asks John, "Why are you marveling at this? Look, I'm going to tell you the mystery of the woman, and I'm going to tell you the mystery of the beast." There are two mysteries that the angel is going to clear up here. And so what we just read, he says, first of all, it's going to require some wisdom. We've got to unravel some things here. And wisdom, chokmah, that concept in Hebrew would suggest that you got to know what it says in the beginning. You got to know what the Bible has already told you. So now, these seven heads, he says first, are seven mountains upon which the woman sits. And so it has been surmised in times past that the seven mountains refers to the seven hills upon which Rome, the city, sat. And this city is one that rules the nations of the earth, or rules the kings of the earth. And so in John's day, of course, that was Rome, and Rome sits upon seven hills. However, the seven heads are also seven kings. My point is that the woman is the one sitting upon the seven mountains. And if the woman is to be representative of the city that rules the kings of the earth, and that city is upon the seven hills, well, it's very clear the woman is not the beast. The beast is not the woman. There are two mysteries the angel is clearing up for us. So once again, those seven heads, yes, they represent seven mountains upon which the woman sits. And there's different ways that we could look at that. Mountains in the scripture will often be referring to kingdoms. For instance, in Daniel chapter 2, when the image that Nebuchadnezzar saw was completely destroyed by a stone cut from a mountain without hands, it strikes the image on the feet but destroys the entire image. That stone becomes a great mountain that fills up the earth. Well, that mountain is a kingdom. It's the kingdom of the Messiah. So this could be telling us that rather than just literal mountains, which it could be that, but it could also mean that the woman is sitting on seven kingdoms. Some people even say seven continents. However you want to look at it, the woman is the one sitting upon the mountains, and the woman is not the beast. She's riding the beast. So then the beast, the seven heads, as it pertains to the beast, are seven kings, or seven principalities, not necessarily flesh and blood kings, but principalities, as we've discussed. Daniel is told that the prince of Persia delayed the angel who was bringing Daniel's answer to his prayer, but the prince of Persia had detained him for 21 days. And he had to hurry and give the interpretation to Daniel because very soon the prince of Grecia was coming. Obviously, not necessarily talking about earthly kings, because earthly kings could not detain an angel. It's talking about principalities. We don't war against flesh and blood. We war against principalities. So then, the mystery pertaining to the woman, the seven heads represent seven mountains upon which the woman sits. That woman is going to influence the entire world with her fornication. The entire earth is made drunk with the wine of her fornication. But those seven heads are also going to represent something that pertains to the beast. And again, I know I keep harping on this, the woman is not the beast, the beast is not the woman. So the seven heads, as it pertains to the beast, are seven principalities. Now, many eschatologists, and I would be someone who would agree with them, believe that these seven principalities are going to be seven nations, or seven kingdoms, if you will, that have had a direct influence on Israel. Because the adversary who works through peoples and who works through nations, what is his objective? To destroy God's people. He sows tares in the midst of the wheat so that the tares can get the upper hand and hopefully destroy the wheat. And so all of these kingdoms that he's worked through in times past, that's been his objective, to destroy God's people. So that's what the beast is all about. So these seven principalities, these seven kingdoms, are kingdoms that would influence, oppress, harass, and attempt to destroy Israel. Now, the angel tells John in what we just read that of those seven principalities, five have already come and gone. From John's point of view, five have come and gone. They're no more. John, in your day and time, one of those principalities still is, and one of those principalities is yet to come. And when that future principality comes, from John's perspective, he's only going to last a very short time. So now, for the moment, let's focus on the five principalities over kingdoms that in John's day had already come and gone. This is what most eschatologists believe that this refers to. Egypt, and Egypt, of course, oppressed Israel, kept them in Egypt, was going to keep them in slavery, but God freed them. So after the Egyptian Empire, as it relates to Israel, comes the Assyrian Empire, because the Assyrians came in and took the northern kingdom of Israel captive. And then after the Assyrians came the Babylonians. Of course, Nebuchadnezzar is that king that came and destroyed Jerusalem. He destroyed the city and he destroyed the temple and took back temple treasures and captives into Babylon. That's why Daniel was there. That's why Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were there. So that's the Babylonian Empire. But then the Babylonian Empire was struck down by the Medes and the Persians. But then the Medes and Persians were conquered by Greece under Alexander the Great. That's five. John was told of these principalities. There are seven, but five of them, John, have already come and gone. And by John's day, Egypt, Assyria, Babylon, the Medes and Persians, and the Grecians had all come and gone. Who followed the Grecians? The Romans. And that was the, if I will, principality that was in charge in John's day. He said, five have fallen, one is, and then there's another who's coming. So then, now, according to what John was told then, of those five that had fallen, one of them is going to ascend out of the bottomless pit. And that one that ascends out of the bottomless pit is the king over the bottomless pit. He's the head over the bottomless pit. And I will recommend to you that the king of the bottomless pit, one of those five that had already fallen, is the one that had the deadly wound with the edge of the sword, but that deadly wound was healed. And this principality is called Abaddon, or destroyer. In Greek, he's called Apollyon, but he's over the bottomless pit. He's the main principality. So after we see in Revelation 9, this king of the bottomless pit, Apollyon, Abaddon, rising, in Revelation 9:14, we're told that there are four angels that are released from the bottomless pit near or from the great river Euphrates, which is in Mesopotamia, which is in the area of Babylonia. And so if you take those four angels and then you add that to the king over the bottomless pit, then I'm going to suggest to you, you have the five principalities, those five heads that in John's day had already come and had already gone. But one of those five heads, one of them, is over all the rest of them. Now, again, he's told that five have fallen, but one is, John. And who was ruling in John's day? Of course, that would be the Roman Empire. And going back to the book of Daniel, if the Persian Empire had a principality, the Prince of Persia, not an earthly person, but a principality. And if the Grecian Empire under Alexander had a Prince of Greece, not a person, but a principality, then it would stand to reason that the Roman Empire also had a principality. So that's that one that is, which would make six. And that's the one that was ruling in John's day. But notice in verse 8 of chapter 17, John's also told this. The beast that you saw was and is not. It's not presently there. The beast isn't there. Even if Rome is there, the beast is not there yet, but will ascend out of the bottomless pit. In other words, in John's day, the beast that he was looking at, even though it had seven heads, seven principalities that comprised this beast, yeah, Rome was ruling in that day and time, and Rome is, I believe, one of those principalities. But Rome is not equivalent to the beast, because the beast itself used to be John, and right now John is not, so that means it can't be Rome, but it is going to arise again. The beast is going to come back to life. And so it seems to me that here's what John's being told. We're trying to unravel a mystery here, because there's a couple of mysteries that are being told to us here. But John, this beast, it's always been here in the world. The spirit of it is here now. But yet, the beast itself is going to arise again out of the bottomless pit. And as it pertains to the beast, the mystery of the seven heads is they are seven kings. They are seven principalities. Now, of those seven, five, John, have been in the past. The world has seen these five come and go. One is right now with you, Rome. And there's another one that you're not aware of that's going to come in the future. He's only going to continue just a short little while. But he seems to be saying this, John, of those five that have fallen, one of them has to be equivalent to the beast. He has to be the one who is the king over all the other principalities. He has to be the one who he was, and even though he's not here with you now, the spirit is, but yet he is coming back. And it means that he has to be one of those five. In other words, of the five that had fallen, let's list them again. Egypt, and Egypt was followed by the Assyrians, and the Assyrians were followed by the Babylonians, and the Babylonians were followed by the Medes and Persians, and the Persians were followed by the Grecians. And John, since the beast that you're looking at isn't with you right now, the beast has to be equivalent to one of those five that have already fallen, because he is going to come back to life. He received a deadly wound with the edge of the sword, but the deadly wound is going to be healed. And so which one of those five is the head over all of them? Or let's put it this way, which one was the head in Daniel chapter 2? It was Babylon. Babylon is the head. Now, he talks about a seventh one, a seventh principality, who had not come in John's day. And he says in verse 10 of Revelation 17, that is the angel, and when he comes, he must continue a short time. Now, who is the seventh principality? I'll be honest with you, I don't know. I'm not really sure who it is. There's another, a lot of things that we could speculate about here. But whoever it is, whoever that principality is, he's only going to continue a short time according to Revelation 17, verse 10. Now, in chapter 17, verse 11, let's read that because there's something very interesting here. It says that the beast that was and is not is himself also the eighth, and is of the seven, and is going to perdition. Let me see if I can break this down for us. John, you're looking at a beast. These seven heads, we've already talked about that, seven principalities, five of them have already come and gone. One of those principalities that comprise the heads, you see today in your time, Rome. There's one you don't see, John, that's going to come in the future, but when he comes, it's just going to last a very short time, and he's going to come and he's going to go. And then after he goes, here's what's going to happen. There's going to be the rise of an eighth king. Five have fallen, Rome was, then Rome goes away, and then there comes this seventh principality that continues a short little time, but he's going to go away too. And then, John, what's going to happen is there's going to be this eighth king that's going to come to power. However, he's not a new king. He's not somebody you haven't seen before. You've already seen him because he is of the seven, not the seventh. Unfortunately, some translations have rendered that word seventh, but no, he's of the seven. And so of those seven principalities, let's go through them once more. Egypt, because all these principalities are going to affect Israel. Egypt, Assyria, Babylon, Medo-Persia, Greece. Those are five that in John's day had already come and already gone. The angel tells him that one is in your day right now, John. That would be Rome, but you see, the beast is not Rome because the beast that John was seeing in his day and time was not. The beast was going to arise out of the bottomless pit and go to perdition. Now, John, yeah, there's going to be another principality who is going to come and go, but that last king that comes, he's actually of those seven. But we can narrow it down. He actually has to be of those five that have fallen. And of those five that had fallen, which one was the head? Which one was the king over them all? And once again, in Daniel chapter 2, it's Babylon that is the head. So I know this can, it's probably sounding a little confusing, so I want to go back over it one more time to make sure everybody understands what I'm saying. John is basically told that there's going to be seven principalities. By the time this is all said and done, there's going to be seven principalities that comprise that beast, what he is. And of those seven principalities, there's going to be one who's over all the rest of them. And in your day, John, that particular principality is not here, yet his influence still is. But when all is said and done, he will come back to power. And when he comes back to power, he's actually going to be considered an eighth king, But he's not a new king. He's actually the eighth king that you've already seen before. He's one of those seven. But because he's going to come back from the abyss and go to perdition, he actually has to be one of the five, John, that has already come and has gone. And of all those five, once again, Daniel 2 makes it very clear that Babylon is the head, because Babylon is the mother of all harlotry and all of the abominations that have permeated the earth. The woman who rides the beast in Revelation 17 has something written on her forehead. It says, "Mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and of all the abominations of the earth." In fact, consider this. Revelation 18, the next chapter, if there's any misunderstanding about who the Bible is trying to point us to, it is devoted to the destruction of a particular entity, principality, city, whatever words you like to use, and it is Babylon. Babylon the Great is fallen, is fallen. You see, the woman, not the beast, is burned with fire by the ten kings. Rome, that principality that was there during John's day, yes, it played a very significant role in world history. And it disseminated what they learned from Babylon throughout the earth. But the influence comes from the head. So what I'm trying to get across here is that it's Babylon the Bible is trying to take our attention to. It's Babylon that it wants us to see is what we need to be looking for. Roman philosophy, Western civilization, if you will, yes, has played a significant role in human history. And I believe that Western civilization, if you want to call that Rome, is going to play an important role in the end times as well. But in this way, here's how I see it. This is just Bill's opinion. When the Messiah came the first time, it was not a Roman who was opposing the Messiah in trying to kill him. It was a descendant of Esau, that is Herod the Great. But Herod the Great had been put in power by Rome. So in other words, Rome was working in concert with Esau. Or shall we say, the woman and the beast were cooperating with one another. Just like we see in the end of days. I believe that Rome, Western civilization, however you want to look at that, whatever you want to make Rome to be, I do believe it will play a significant role in the end of days, because it's a principality that's part of that beast, but it is not the head. It's not equivalent to the beast. Babylon is the head. And so then, what we see going on in Western civilization today, let's say that's Rome, because the United States, as I pointed out before, for instance, is heavily influenced by Roman thinking, by the Roman ways of doing things. The Republic of Rome was in part the inspiration for the American Republic. The fact that we have a bicameral form of government or legislature, that we have a House of Representatives and we have a Senate, was in part inspired by Rome. And so that influence is still with us today, and especially in Western civilization. But what's going on in Western civilization right now? Actually, that's where this whole mixed and mingled concept is, it seems to be concentrated. The whole idea of tolerance and coexistence and taking what God says and then mixing it with what that says and what this philosophy says and this ideology says, until the Word of God is so watered down that you can't even recognize it anymore. And who is playing a role in advancing that? Well, the church. Maybe that's what that woman is. That woman who's supposed to be someone's wife, who receives only his seed, his word, but has gone out and committed fornication with the kings of the earth and received their seed as well. And her fornication, her mixing, her mingling has corrupted the entire earth, which then allows the beast to arise, which allows the beast to deceive the whole world and then subject them, to break them into pieces, to crush. That's what I believe is going on. And so when we go back into the beginning, because the beginning reveals the end for us, Once again, I don't see Rome. John was told very plainly, the beast that you see right now, John, it used to be. It is not presently, but it's going to arise out of the bottomless pit. And yet the beast that you see, John, it has been, it is, and it will be. The spirit of Antichrist has always been with us. There have always been Antichrists, but there is coming an Antichrist, who I, again, do not believe necessarily comes posing as Messiah, but because he has deceived the whole world into joining him, he opposes Messiah, he opposes God, and he opposes God's people. I believe that's what's happening right in front of our eyes. But one more thing before we go. There has always been a remnant who did not mix and who did not mingle. Come back and join me next week. We're going to be talking once again about Mystery Babylon.
Like what you're hearing? Become a BuiltCloud Premium Partner to watch or listen to hundreds of hours of teachings and resources on demand. Go to BuiltCloud.com/subscribe to start watching today.